Our text is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 54 today. Tonight we're going to sing, but then we'll preach from the same passage, verses 55 through 57. And both kind of carrying the same subject here, just carrying it out a little bit further. This morning I'm speaking on thankful for a good change. Now, sometimes people say change is good. I've been in meetings and businesses and in church groups and other organizations. They say, well, change is good. And change ended up not being good. So I don't just take any change as good, okay? I mean, look at your pictures 40 years ago and look in the mirror. Change is not good, okay? Change is not good, all right? Somebody, when I was asleep, changed bodies with me. But nonetheless, I just don't think all change is good, but there is a good change coming. And that's what we want to look at this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now, that's not Donald Trump. Okay. The Trump we're waiting for is much better. Okay. So, I mean, I like the guy and I pray for him, but I'm looking forward to that Trump I want to hear. Okay. But at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, what a great thing that is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that great change that's coming. Father, it was good to walk in the land where Jesus walked this past week. But oh, is it going to be so much better just to walk with Jesus in person in that day. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we are changed. And yet, Lord, our hearts are heavy for those who receive not Christ as their Savior. Our hearts are heavy for those who will not be there. And I pray, Father, that this will just be a period of grace that allows them, before you take us up, to have that one more opportunity to be saved. I pray that that might be this day, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our text tells us about a good change for all who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, there is absolutely nothing that must happen in prophecy for Christ Jesus our Lord to come. Remember, he said it would be like the days of Noah, and the Lord said it's ready now to be destroyed, but he'd give him 120 years of grace. So I don't know what holds it up, but there is nothing that has to be fulfilled for Jesus to catch us up in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, I like how the Bible speaks of this change in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, where it says this, for our conversation. Now, usually when you see the word conversation in the Bible, it talks about your matter of life, the way you live your life, how you're identified by the way you live, how you're associated. But here in Philippians, it happens twice, and the Greek's just a little bit different, and it has the idea of citizenship. So read it this way. You look at it and you say, for our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Then we look in 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3, and it says there, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him, if this hope is real, if it's really real in your life, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Makes us think about it, doesn't it? With that in mind, let's look and see the following from our text. First of all, it is a quick change. And again, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Just that quick. We call it the rapture. The word rapture just has the idea there of a quick snatching away. The magicians would say, now you see it, now you don't. Well, it'd even be much quicker than that. It's in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, you see, this is just not one passage. We get many places throughout the Bible that talk about this. In 1 Corinthians 4, 13 through 18, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, those that died in Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that died in Jesus shall rise first. You know, it's interesting to me that people will look at a church where you don't have the rock and roll music in the church services, and you get away from the Bible, and you do all these other things, you know, and you have the beer and Bible churches now and all that other stuff going on. And they say, you know, our churches are alive. And God said in Revelation chapter 3, talking about the church age and how it is progressing in a downward spiral. Thou have a name, thou hast a name that thou livest in Sardis. Sardis has a name, they live. Everybody says, that's the cool church. That's where it's happening, man. Right there, boy, that's a place to be. Thou hast a name that thou livest. But God looks at it and says, but art dead. But art dead. You know, the one that counts is the one who is the judge of all eternity and time. So you need to listen to what he has to say. The dead in Christ rise first. That's talking about people that died in Christ, not dead churches. Okay? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, if you have a loved one that died in Christ, the next verse says, wherefore, right now, wherefore, do it now, comfort one another with these words. We've got a sure hope. We've got a blessed hope. If you're in Christ Jesus, it's a great hope. Not all die, but all will be changed. That word caught up is the Greek word harpazo. And in when they did it from Greek, we got caught up. That's what it means. The Latin, when they were doing some of the Bibles in Latin, they put raptura, meant the same thing. We got our word rapture from it. Rapture is not a word that's found in our King James Bible. But the teaching is. You see, the Trinity is not found in the King James Bible, the word, but the teaching is. Okay, so again, it is there, and praise the Lord. We're going to be caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. The rapture. It's called a mystery in verse 51. That is, it wasn't fully revealed as it is here in our text. But they knew there was a change coming. In the Old Testament, even before the law was given, they were looking for this to happen. In Job chapter 19, verse 25 and 26, it says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Our Redeemer? Jesus Christ had not come yet in Job's day. The law had not been given in Job's day. But he says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he," that is, our Redeemer, "shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Now think about that. That's 3,500 years ago. I would kind of think that Job is probably dust by now. And yet there's going to be a resurrection, and it's going to be so quick, and he's going to have a body, and he's going to see his Redeemer. He knew that. Even though he's going through all those trials and troubles, he knew what was coming. King David said he knew the Lord would not leave his soul in hell. That is, in Sheol. It uses the Hebrew word, which back in the Old Testament, when a person died, there were one of four places their spirit could go. Well, really, one of two, but there was Tartarus, which was the place where demonic spirits were placed and chained for all eternity. Next was a place called Hades, hell. The rich man said, "I am tormented in this flame." Then there was a great gulf, and then the next place was called Abraham's bosom, or even paradise. Now that was taken up in Ephesians. We read about that when he led captivity captive, and now that third heaven, that paradise is up there. When a soul dies, that spirit just goes right up there, waiting for the rapture. And fully alive, fully conscious. Well, David said, "I knew he wouldn't leave me there." Even in the Old Testament, they were looking for the rapture. Think of that. Notice the description of this quick change as well. It is all changed, our text says. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." There are people today that says, "Well, only the good Christians are going to get raptured." It's not what the Bible says. He says we're all going to be changed. We'll be all changed. Now, there will be those that will be ashamed at his appearing, but we'll all be changed. In 1 John 2:28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you shall have confidence," that is, joy and peace, knowing you've served him, you've given your all to him, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Oh, my friend, that's why we purify ourselves. If we really believe that that's happening, we purify ourselves. So give me Jesus, more about Jesus. Keep your cool, church. I want more of Jesus and his word. The judgment seat of Christ. I think I told you here a few weeks ago, it's just going to me, it's like a car accident. I don't think we're going to be up there 7 years at a judgment seat of Christ or however long it is. I believe it'll be instantaneous. People are in a car accident, said, "My whole life," and so many of that's happened to so many over so many years. They said, "I just seen it from the time I was born to this present. It was just like in a second, yet everything was distinctive. I could see it all." And it's something that science now can't dispute, because there are literally thousands upon thousands of testimonies of that. I think that's the way the judgment seat of Christ is going to be. But you know, when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, it causes fear and trembling, but it also causes a great wonderment for me. It says, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come." Why? Because he's the actual judge. who both will bring to light. It'll make it visible for all to see the hidden things of darkness. Oh, the skeletons in the closet. And the counsels of the heart. Fully known. Says he will make manifest, fully known, the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Why would we have praise of God when the counsels of our heart are manifested? The darkness is seen. Because every one of us will know that there is not a person there that is there by their good works. We're saved by the grace of God. Jesus paid it all, not me. It's His blood, and it's been in Christ that we're accepted in the Beloved. And the change is for the better, because we're going to be like Him. This vile body will be put off. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says it this way, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Why? "For the former things are passed away." And I like the way they say it, "in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." The Greek word for a moment is atomos, atomos. We get our word atom from it. In that day, they used that word because it was what they figured would be the smallest particle of matter, the smallest particle of time. And so they use that word to say we'll be raptured and changed in the very smallest particle of time. A quick change for good. Now, when we were going to leaving to go to Israel on the plane, my daughter started throwing her education in my face. And she told me, "Do you know what an attosecond is?" I thought it was slang, you know. "At a second, man." You know, I didn't know what it was, so she told me. An attosecond is one quintillionth of a second. I can't comprehend a quintillionth, but it's a one quintillionth of a second. For context, she says, an attosecond is to a second what a second is to 31.71 billion years. And she said researchers are using the term in an attempt to shorten the pulse during the pulse duration of X-ray lasers. Good luck. But you know what? The Lord already knows that, and He can do it. And thankfully, He's almighty. That's not new to Him. He's omniscient. He already knew this. And so, here we are a couple thousand years later finding out about how fast this change takes place. I would say a nanosecond's pretty quick. And it's going to happen. There is not a prophecy to be fulfilled for this to take place today. You know, even before this service is out, it could take place. Caught up, just as we are, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But those without Christ are left behind. Unconfessed sin and unforsaken sin is no longer able to do anything about it. It's done, it's taken care of, it's over. But we'd be changed with bodies likened to Jesus. Seeing loved ones who went on before us. And oh, we all can name loved ones that we want to see again so soon. But we get to see Jesus Christ. Wow. Do you realize if you have a loved one who died in Christ? And I think of my mom always. And many of you, you have spouses that died in Christ. They're seeing something that you've never seen right now. Because they're in that third heaven. They're seeing Jesus Christ. Why do you think they'd want to come back here? No. Where they are? I mean, You're living in a palace? How would you like to live in Zuber? You know, you don't want to live in Zuber if you're living in a palace, okay? You want to go straight. You want to go straight to that palace and stay there and enjoy it. I've got a mansion over the hilltop. Amen. Many like to speak of that trumpet sounding, which it is in the Jewish feast, and they want to talk about which trumpet is it in the Jewish feast. Well, that's not really important. Here's what is important. At the Jewish feast that they had had, the various feasts, they would know when it's about to sound. They knew when the next trumpet was about to sound, it's near the time for it to do. Well, we have things going on in this world today that tells us the trumpet will call us home is about to sound. So quick. It's not only in a moment. It's faster than the eye can twinkle. This is a change for good. You know, they drop bombs, and bombs can change good to bad. But only Jesus can change from bad to good and do it in a moment. And we shall be raised incorruptible. Right now, our souls are redeemed, but not our body. Our body is vile and is capable of doing vile things. But in that day, we read in Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, which is, in other words, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body is yet to come when it is changed, made immortal, made incorruptible, and it's fashioned like unto His glorious body. And it's a quick change. And by the way, let me just throw this in. If the Bible gives us a definition of word and what it means by that word, it doesn't matter if you have 1,000 theologians with 25 letters after the name telling you a different definition. Here he says the adoption is the rapture of this body and when it is changed. I'm going to take God's word for it. Just take God's word for it. That's why we're biblicists. We take God at His word above the word of men. It's not only a quick change, but it's a quality change as well. In verses 53 and 54 it says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." This body is corruptible. The bodies we're in now break down. We've got germs in our mouths, all of us. Doctors tell us a human bite is worse than a dog bite. We all get sicknesses. We age. We die. We're born with a body that as it develops and grows, it's still in a process of dying cell by cell. If you don't believe you're corruptible, don't take a bath until next Saturday. Don't brush your teeth till next Saturday. Just don't be around me to prove it, okay? But praise God, we'll be changed. Never again will this body corrupt. You know, it's interesting. Verse 50 says there of this text that we didn't read. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Now, some have mistakenly say, well, this shows that the body that we're caught up in will not have any blood in it at all. But he said flesh and blood. You know, if you're going to be consistent, you can't say, well, this part is true, this part is not true. He said flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, by context, what this is doing is setting up the passage for us. We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. You know, flesh and blood or whatever else is going to be changed and likened unto His glorified body. And so, that's why we look forward to the rapture. You see, it's no corruptible flesh and no corruptible blood shall inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This old body is changed. But not only corruptible to incorruptible, and by the way, incorruptible means incapable of corrupting. From mortal to immortality. That is, without death, this body will never again be separated from its spirit. Never separated from God. Once we're raptured, again, the word death does not mean ceasing to exist. It never meant cessation. It means separation. When this body dies, that spirit is separated from the body. Once I die, I'll never have this body again. The next body I'll get will be fashioned by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a much better body. So I won't have the same body, but boy, I sure look forward to that one I'll have. And by the way, there's going to be this difference too. We have an old nature. More often than like what we want to admit, that old nature drives this body. And things we do. Up there, the new body we have will be totally 100% spirit controlled. And that is always for our good. So we praise God for the quick change and the quality change from incorruptible, from corruptible to incorruptible and from mortal to immortality. It's a great change, but it's also a quenching change, or you might even say a conquering change. For the last part of verse 54 says, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The enemy of sin and death, and we'll say more about that in the sermon tonight as we continue this study. But the enemy of sin and death has been completely quenched. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 18, we read this. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten, that is in his humanity, the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death. By his death and his bodily resurrection, he ensured that we too could have a resurrection for eternal life with a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's why John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. That's why Acts 4, 12 says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. The only way you're going to go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It's not going to be doing the best you can. You can't do the best you can to deserve heaven. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, it says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God. Why? Because Almighty God's deity is offended even by the simplest of sin. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ, God who took on a human body and a human flesh, the Son of God, that he might shed his blood for our sin and pay it in full. He is the propitiation, the entire payment, the Bible says, 1 John 2:2. The propitiation for not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus can save anybody who'll come to him. That's why he says, if you come to him, he'll in no wise cast you out. So we have faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that as bad as we are, as evil as we've been, that blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And when we stand in heaven, we're standing in Christ. Not in our works, not in ourselves. We're standing in Christ. And we are, Ephesians, accepted in the Beloved. Boy, isn't that a great promise? And yet, you can't truly be thankful for what we've talked about today, about this great change that we're going to have and about the great things of heaven. You cannot be thankful for any of that if you have not received Him as your Lord and Savior. Oh, yes. You can be a part of that quick change, that quality change, and that conquering, quenching change if you receive Him today. But let me just ask a question. If you are saved and you were caught up today, would you be ashamed? Would you be ashamed? You see, if this hope is very real in you, if it's really real in you, then you purify yourselves even as He is pure. But my friend, I've said it many times from this pulpit and in other places, I'd much rather be the very lowest person in heaven than the highest person in hell. The lowest place of heaven is a billion times, out of second, whatever that is, time, better than the best place in hell. My friend, if you've not confessed that you're a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, and you have not yet been willing for Jesus Christ to cleanse you from your sin, you haven't said, you know what, I want to turn from my sin. There's some sin that just has a hold of me. I can't let go of it, and I'll need the Lord, and He can take it. He can do what is necessary to take you from that sin. He can not only save you from sin's power, but He'll save you from sin's penalty. But He doesn't force it. You've got to come to Him. If you're not sure if you died today that heaven's your home, my friend, now, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to come to Him. Won't you come to Christ? Let's bow our heads, please. Now, Father, in a moment, we're going to sing hymn 600, Face to Face with Jesus. And as we have looked at this passage today, it causes to examine our lives, because face to face could be today. I pray for that one that may be without Christ. Lord, there are hands that didn't go up and say, I know that if I died, that heaven's my home. I pray that they'd come and receive Christ. And although some did not raise their hands, they perhaps should have. Lord, I don't know what pressure Satan puts on them, but overcome that pressure. May they find the peace and joy that is in Christ Jesus. And I'd ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.